Personal question. Are you married? If you are, do you love your spouse? Do you really love your spouse? Do you have children? Do you love your children? Do you have parents? Do you love your parents? Brothers and sisters, do you love your brothers and sisters? Do you really love them? How do you prove that you love those closest to you? Well, I should have put a health warning in the e-news this week for the sermon this morning, because I know some of you are going to be really ticked off with me by the end. How do you prove that you love those that you just said you loved? You provide for them, don't you? You provide for them. You provide for their future. How do you provide for their future? Let me give you a simple test. A very revealing test that will expose the quality of your love. When was the last time you went to see your GP? When was the last time you went to see your GP not because you were sick? Not because you were sick, but because you were well. When was the last time you went to see your GP for a health check? It's free, and the health service actively encourages us to have a health check. It's free to check your blood pressure, your weight, your cholesterol, your kidney function, your glucose, your PSA, if you're a man. The Apostle Paul writes, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." How do you prove that you love those that you really care about? Now, assuming among those of you who have visited your GP in living memory to have a health check, do you have an annual health check with your GP? An annual health check. And let me be more specific. Do you remember the date of your last annual health check? And is the date of your future health check in your diary? You service your car, which is more important? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? And assuming you're ticking the boxes so far, assuming your GP has seen you for a recent health check and has prescribed medication to assist with your cholesterol or your high blood pressure, are you taking that medication daily as expected? Many people are on prescriptions and they don't take them. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? If you really love those closest to you, I suggest it is more important having an annual health check in your diary than remembering their birthdays or your wedding anniversary. Because it shows you care more about their future than your past. Proving that you love those closer to you might mean making a telephone call tomorrow morning. Before you do, let's explore what the Apostle Paul has to say about another kind of health check, a spiritual health check. How does our passage begin? He says, "I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I'm filling up in my body what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church." The Apostle Paul is saying he suffered physically, he endured hardship physically, long hours, sleepless nights, hard work, for the sake of the church. You see the link between the physical and the spiritual, between the physical body and the spiritual body. We should have an outline in front of you. We're going to look at the burden, contending for the Church of Jesus Christ, our goal, growing in the wisdom of Jesus Christ, and our delight, security, in the faith of Jesus Christ. But let's first of all notice our burden in ministry, contending for the Church of Jesus Christ. Notice how Paul contended for the church, a church he hadn't even visited. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. To this end, I strenuously contend with all of the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you, for those in Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. Notice the words the apostle uses to describe his behavior, how he used his body. Strenuously, energy, powerfully, contending. I wonder if you've ever aspired to be a pastor or an evangelist. I remember having a hernia operation once, and I was sitting in a bed next to a laborer. And when he asked me what I did for a living, he kind of fell out of his bed because he couldn't believe that a vicar could have a hernia, because he didn't obviously think we worked very hard, you know, physically. You know, when you're a young Christian, you are enthusiastic, thankful to Jesus, you want to serve him. And maybe you felt like giving everything up, becoming a missionary or a pastor. Well, if that's you right now, and if the Lord is asking, then please come and talk to Simon or Will or myself. If you're not sure, but you still feel that sense of calling, then let's explore our apprenticeship scheme. We're looking for two or three individuals who will join the team this summer as an apprentice, and it's designed to help test a call to ministry. But for most Christians, we come to appreciate that we can serve Jesus full-time in our home, in our community, in our work, in our secular employment, because God has given us gifts, talents, abilities, experience that he wants us to use for his purposes and the extension of his kingdom. Like the apostle, we are called to glorify him in the church, in the world. Now, what's your image of a vicar or a minister? Somebody like Dawn French, Vicar of Dibley, or perhaps more like Adam Smallbone in BBC Two's Rev? Well, for a reality check, in Colossians, we see the Apostle Paul's burden for the believers. They had an image of what they thought an apostle should be like. They had expectations that might have been romantic or unrealistic. So Paul writes, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all those who have not met me personally. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit. The Message translation puts it like this. I want you to realize how I continue to work as hard as I know how for you and also for the Christians over in Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside you. You're not in this alone. Paul writes about his struggles on behalf of the church in Colossae, Laodicea. And as we know from his other letters, he was burdened by the needs of other churches in Greece, Turkey, Syria. And think about it, he didn't have a mobile phone, email, Skype, Facebook, Twitter. It would have been much harder for the apostle to stay in touch with his friends and family as well as these churches. There would inevitably have been long silences, misunderstandings, frustrations. And it's implied here in chapter 2. There were false expectations. Paul uses a strong word to describe his work on their behalf. Contending. Contending. It's the same word used to describe the stress an athlete displays. Total commitment. Dedication. It sounds like they felt neglected, uninformed. They were in danger of being deceived by pastors who had another agenda. What was Paul doing? Verse 4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Suggest they were in danger of being deceived. Which is why Paul emphasizes, though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit. Paul was an itinerant evangelist. He was a church planter. He was a writer. He was a pastor teacher. At times he stayed put for years on end. At other times he was on the move, constantly planting churches, staying out of trouble or getting into trouble. Every pastor is different. Simon's very different to me. Will is very different to Simon. Every church family is unique. And here lies the tension between roles and expectations. Even though they've never met Paul, he wanted them to know how hard he was working on their behalf. Just a personal insight. As you know, in 2015, I took a year sabbatical from international ministry. Occasionally people say, where are you off to next? And I say, well, not till July, actually. It's a long time ahead. January, I visit Cairo, do some Bible teaching in churches there. And I'll be returning again in July, hopefully, and again in August. We're hoping to launch Christianity Explored in the Congo in September. And as a result of the translation into Arabic, we're hoping to get it back into Cairo, Egypt, and the whole of the Middle East. On the back wall is details of my international ministry over the last 40 years. Some of it's public, and you can watch videos about some of these projects, and some of it's below the radar because it's in countries where the church is persecuted. But to paraphrase Paul, whether I'm absent from you in body or not, I'm present with you in spirit and accessible 24/7 by mobile phone, Skype, and email. And like Paul, I want you to know, just as much as Simon and Will does, that we are contending for you. We are contending for you. The burden of ministry, contending for the Church of Jesus Christ. Secondly, notice our goal in ministry, growing in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. This is our goal. Paul says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of the complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this, that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. Notice the language he uses to describe his goal. His goal. They might grow in wisdom of Jesus Christ. Three observations we can make that are at the core of being a Christian, that are at the core of our ministry. The first is the knowledge of Jesus is our priority, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. This is why it's rooted in our mission statement as a church. Knowing Jesus. That's our priority. The gospel isn't a secret. It's not a mystery. The gospel now is the good news of the saving work of Jesus for those with eyes to see. As we saw in a recent sermon series, Christ and all the scriptures, Jesus is central to every book of the Bible. Every feast, every symbol, every type points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, King of kings, Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus in John 6 says, you diligently study the scriptures because you think by them you have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. And again, on the road to Emmaus, he said, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. There is no substitute for reading the scriptures every day. No substitute. Jesus answered the devil from scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So read the Bible daily until you see the smiling face of Jesus on every page. Because until we do, we haven't understood as God intends. The knowledge of Jesus, our priority. The understanding of Jesus is our goal. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, that they may have a full riches of complete understanding. You see, our goal is not to read the Bible. It's a means to an end. Our goal is to understand who Jesus is and why he came. That's why our weekly Bible studies are so important. It's great that we listen to sermons, that we read the Bible daily, but there's no substitute for being in a group where you're asking each other questions, where you're challenging each other about your daily walk. Our CBS, Thursday ladies, Saturday men's Bible study, and our weekly groups meeting in homes around the parish. If our goal of ministry is that we are growing in our understanding of Jesus, as you look back over the last year, do you feel you are growing? Do you feel you are learning more about Jesus and what it means to follow him? Because that's our goal. Because the wisdom of Jesus is our treasure. Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom of Jesus is our treasure. You know, we live in a very materialistic world that equates treasure with wealth. But God gave us people to love and things to use. And we use people and we love things. It's rare to find wisdom valued more highly than wealth. But the Lord encourages us to do so. So when you're thinking about that gift, the wedding anniversary gift or the birthday gift, we inevitably think about who it's for and how much we can afford. Well, when you do, remember what we treasure most. And the irony is, it's not diminished the more we give it away. The more we give, the more we'll be blessed. The knowledge of Jesus, our priority. The understanding of Jesus, our goal. The wisdom of Jesus, our treasure. And finally, our burden, our goal, and our delight in ministry is our security in the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, he says, "For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." See, Paul was rejoicing over two things, their discipline and their stability in the face of opposition. And the two go together. The two go together. He's using a military term here. Their discipline, they resembled an army. Their common dedication to Jesus made them a compact military unit. That word discipline means holding your position, serving in your appointed place together as a team. And that's what God has called us to do in the year ahead. Earlier, I challenged you to think about having that annual health check because it shows you care about those closest to you. Well, starting today, we want you to show that we care for you and your spiritual health too. Starting today, you received a copy of the Spiritual Life Checkup. It's in your weekly news. Please do not hand it in when you leave. Please take it home and read it. There are more copies at the back if you didn't get one. As your pastors, Simon, Will, and I are responsible for your spiritual health. When we get to heaven, God is going to hold us accountable for how we have served, equipped, motivated, encouraged, and pastored you. Now, unless a disease so overcomes us that our doctor or pastor is painfully aware of, there is no regular time when we sit down and share life together. We have a pastoral care team. We visit those who are unwell. If you go into hospital, we aim to visit within 24 hours. If you call up and say, "Can we get together?" we certainly will do that. And if you're new to Christ Church, invariably we'll say, "Let's get together for coffee and I'll tell you more about the church." But we're requesting from today an annual appointment with you, an annual checkup. Individually or as couples if you wish, and we're inviting you, urging you to go through this on your own or with your spouse and prayerfully answer the questions. It's your way of diagnosing with the Lord how you're doing spiritually. It's not a test, not an exam, it's a tool, and it's confidential. And since pastors can only help if you allow us, it's entirely voluntary. But I'm suggesting you set aside an hour of uninterrupted time thoughtfully to answer the questions. Keep the answers to yourself or maybe share them with your spouse. Make an appointment with Simon, Will, or myself for a half-hour checkup over the next few weeks. And we will be asking you three questions. We're going to be asking you, when did you become a Christian? How is your Christian life going? What are the encouragements or the discouragements? And what are you doing to serve the Lord in the church family and through the church in the world? And then you are entirely at liberty to share anything out of the spiritual life checkup that you want to discuss confidentially. And let's trust God together that He will help us to grow in our walk with the Lord. We're looking forward to meeting up with you soon. So please phone for an appointment. We've seen from Colossians this morning our burden, contending for the church of Jesus Christ. We've seen our goal, growing in the wisdom of Jesus Christ, and our delight, our security in the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, from your wisdom, please guide us and give us each day that which is best for us, for your glory. Please show us how we can use this diagnostic tool to evaluate our spiritual walk with you and how we can contribute to the life of your church and your witness in the world. We pray this for the building up of your church and the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.